in the vein of giving one word title for the shiur on Reishis Hagez. This is our third shiur on Reishis Hagez. The first shiur was on Hafrasha, one word title. Second shiur was on Shutfus, one word title. And so this shiur is going to be on shiur. It's funny, if you look at the title, it's like shiur Reishis Hagez. I'm giving a shiur in Reishis Hagez. No, I'm talking about the shiurim of Reishis Hagez. We're talking about the amounts. Okay, I have a modest goal for the next half an hour, and that is as follows. I'm going to say, just organized and hopefully very good shot in terms of the, just understanding the various shiurim that are given in terms of how much wool needs to come off the animal in order to be chayiv in the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. And I will also attempt to give some sort of svara behind a lot of these numbers that are given, and that's going to be our goal for this afternoon. So with the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Hey and the upcoming and the ensuing Gemaras, this week, the official starting point of this week starts with the Gemaras in terms of various shiurim on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So I figure this to be a very appropriate topic for the first year this week. With that stated, let's get underway. Let's first start off with our Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us the following, that the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez requires multiple sheep. In the English language, there is no plural for the word sheep, right? There's a lot of sheep over there. Okay, so so you need a lot of sheep. How much is a lot of sheep? So the Mishnah goes on to describe. So this is now the Mishnah. I have it on the source sheet, but I'm just reading it from the Mishnah. So according to Beit Shammai, it is two sheep. In other words, that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu giving a description of what it will be in the Zman HaMashiach. Everyone's going to have two sheep. So you see that the standard multiple of sheep is two. So you need two sheep. And so according to Beis Hillel, it is five sheep. As we all know, I'm not going to discuss it much today, but as we all know, there is actually a third shita brought in the Gemara. The Gemara brings down a shita in the name of Rav Yossi. His son quotes his father. Rav Yossi's son quotes Rav Yossi. And he gives a shita of four. Not perfectly clear whether or not the Rif Paskins like Rav Yossi. If you read the Rif inside, it does seem to indicate it that way. The Rambam certainly does not pass like Rav Yossi. The Rambam Paskins like Beis Elvar Mishnah. You need five sheep. Okay, so number one, in terms of how many sheep do you need in order to generate the chiv? So the answer is five, as we just saw together in the Mishnah. That's the Shita Beis Hillel, and that is the accepted position amongst the poskim. Rabbi Dosman Horkenas Omer. Now, the next topic of discussion in the Mishnah goes as follows. How much shearing do you need to shear off the sheep in order to generate the chiyuv? And to be clear, the Mishnah at this point in time is not talking about how much you need to give to the Kohen. What the Mishnah is describing is how much sheep, how much shearings need to come off the sheep so that the chiyuv even gets off the ground. Meaning if it's not enough shearing, if it's not enough wool, so then there's not even a chiyuv. So how much needs to come off? Rabbi Dosman working in Omer Chamesh Rechelos. Gozozos mana upras. Chayev is bereshis again. So the opinion of Dosman Horkenus is that you need to take off a certain amount from each of the five sheep. Now the language of the Mishnah is a little bit confusing. Mana upras. But Rashi is mazbir that what he means is mana upras. Now, as a general rule to understand the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara, so just understand the following principle. Back in the day, currency was coins. Currency was not paper money. Paper money is a modern invention. And I know, not that modern. But back in the day, so currency came in the form of coins. And coinage back in the time of the Gemara was all based on the weight of any given coin. Meaning a coin had a certain weight, and based on that weight, so therefore it represented a certain value. So when you talk about a coin, you really are talking about two things. One, a denomination, and two, an actual weight. A coin was counted on to weigh a certain amount. So when we're giving the shear of how much shearing we're talking about off of an animal, and the Mishnah is talking in terms of coinage, it's just simply because back in the day, the coin actually was also a weight. It was a standard weight. So the Mishnah over here says that the sheet of Rabbi Dosman Horkenus is manu manu pras. Chayav Ereshus Hagez, Rashi over there says that it's going to be a mana upras coming off from each of the sheep. Now a mana is a certain amount. How much does it come out to? Your standard mana back in the time was 25 salim. 25 salim, by the way, the word shekel and sela are synonymous terms. Shekel is the term in the Torah, sela is the term in the Mishnah. So it's 25 salim. So if I say now that I need 25 salim for each mana upras, you need a sela, sorry, you need a mana and a half for each of the sheep. One mana is 25, half is 12 and a half, Put those two together, that's 37 and a half. Multiply that by the five sheep, that is 187 and a half. So according to Rav Dosa Ben Orkanis, you need 187.5 salayim weight from the totality of the five sheep in order for there to even be a chiyuv. Now, I'll say it's a lot, but what does that mean to you and I? Not a whole lot. We're not. We don't really know how much it is in terms of modern measurements, right? I cheated. You saw that I cheated. So I looked in one of the notes in the article. So it says about 8 pounds, approximately 8 pounds, in the opinion of Rav Dosa Ben Orkanis. Okay, sounds like a lot. But again, what does 8 pounds mean to me of wool and the shearings of wool? I have no experience in it. So for me, it's just numbers. But it doesn't matter. The point is that is the amount of wool that you need in order for the chiyuv to even start. And then the chachamim amrim, chamesh recheles goes as kol shehein. And then the chachamim say it's going to be chamesh recheles, five sheep, and they're going to be shorn, and kol shehein. Now, the chachamim's position in the Mishnah, as it's read in its pashtus, is that any amount, if I were to shear wool off of five sheep in any amount, there's going to be a chiyuv. Okay. Now, hold that thought of the Chachamim. So, l'chora, what we have in the Mishnah, not l'chora, what we have in the Mishnah is a machlokas between the Tanaim, how much will you need to take off in order to give to the Kohen. Now, the Mishnah does go on, and let's just go on in the Mishnah for just a moment. Kamanos in love. Now, the Mishnah goes on to the discussion now of how much you have to give to the Kohen. Now, this part admittedly is confusing, because as you go through the Gemara, so you get a little bit confused in terms of what the Mishnah here is addressing. So, allow me now just to simply present what the Mishnah here is addressing. The Mishnah is not really a follow-up of the previous point. It's kind of, but not really. Meaning, previously what the Mishnah was describing was how much wool needs to be taken off in order for there to be a chiyuv altogether. Now, the Mishnah here is talking about how much to give to the Kohen. The Mishnah over here says 5 salaim be Yehuda, which is 10 salaim in the Gullah. The coins in Yehuda and the Gullah obviously were not the same. Clearly, the Yehuda coins were much larger. It took two, for every two Galus coins, it took to compensate for one Yehuda coin. But let's just deal with Yehuda. Let's say 5 salaim. Let's keep it nice and simple. 5 salaim. So that means to say that according to the Mishnah, every time you take ratios together, you have to give 5 salaim. Now, after having gone through the Gemara, you know that that's not accurate. It's not true. Meaning, as we've gone through the Gemara, we're going to go through it just in a moment together. So you give a lot less to a coin. So what the Gemara goes on to explain in terms of pshat in the Mishnah is that what the Mishnah here is describing is what happens if you have a lot of wool and you have a lot of wool to give to the Kohen as the mitzvah of Reishis HaGez. So once you are dispensing a lot of wool, so then you're in a position where you can now give each Kohen a minimum of 5 salaim. There are times where you're going to end up giving even less than that. But in the event that you have a lot of wool, so then you're going to give 5 salaim. That is ultimately going to be the pshat in the Mishnah. And then, just for purpose of clarification, shein es salaim begalal meluvan velo tzoi, kedei la'asos mimenu beged katan. It has to be clean, not dirty. The Gemara goes on to explain that the pshat in the Mishnah means is that you don't actually have to clean the wool yourself. It just simply means that the 5 salaim of wool that you're going to be giving to a kohen has to be 5 salaim post removal of all the dirt and all the impurities, meaning the wool's got a lot of dirt in it. Obviously, that's going to contribute to the weight. So when the recommended amount of 5 salaim is in play, so then you're going to have to make sure that's 5 salaim after the dirt's removed. You don't have to remove the dirt, but it's just a way of figuring out how to weigh it. Shenemar, and then the Mishnah quotes the pasuk v'titein lo shehei bo kidei matana. The Torah says that you have to give the reishis hagez. It has to be an asina. And it has to be a kidei matana. It has to be something significant. It has to be something which is respectable. Okay. Akan divrei ha-Mishnah. That is just an overview of the Mishnah. And now let's attempt to begin. And that is what I would like to try to really flesh out is what are these numbers? Right? These are numbers where the Mishnah just throws out a whole bunch of numbers. None of them are obviously coming from the Torah. So where are these numbers coming from? What is the source for these numbers? Rabbi Dosa Ben Horkanus has 187. The Chachamim say Kol Shehu. Now, in a moment, we're going to learn together. You already saw the Gemara is hopefully inside. The Gemara brings down Nashitas Amarayim, exactly what the Kol Shehu means. But in other words, that is a significant range in terms of how much wool needs to be taken off the sheep in order for there to be a chiyuv. Where do these numbers come from? What are they reflecting? Is there any way that we can give any kind of svara whatsoever for this machlokas in the Mishnah? So I'll start off with a comment by Tosfos. This sugya of Reishis HaGez also comes up in Baba Basra, and Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Nun, and the Gemara over there goes through our Mishnah, and so what we get over there are comments by the Rishonim on our Mishnah. So additional comments, and you'll see I'll be quoting from Rashi and the Rashbam over there. Sorry, Rashbam and Tosfos over there in Baba Basra. So first I'll start off with a comment by Tosfos, which would end our shir really quickly. Tosfos writes, Shir de Rabbanim v'Rabidoso lo yidina manale. So Tosfos just basically says, look, I don't know where these shirim come from. I don't know what the source is. I don't know what the svaras are. I don't know how they arrived at these conclusions where Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus is at 187 and the Chachamim are somewhere less than that, wherever that may be. I'll explain in just a moment where they are. So admittedly, Tosfos admits that just, I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from. But we do have a Rashi. A Rashi in Baba Basra that writes as follows. Mana upras. Okay, sorry, the Rashi is not in Baba Basra. Of course not. Right? The Rashbam is going to be in Baba Basra. Okay, I'll come back to the Rashbam. But first I'm going to quote the Rashi in our Mishnah. Rashi in our Mishnah writes as follows. Mana upras ko achas mana v'chatzi. So as I pointed out, this is Rashi explaining the opinion of Rabbi Dosim and Horkanus that you need to shear from every sheep a mana upras. Right? 37 and a half salim from every sheep. And then Rashi makes the following comment. And I'm going to emphasize the following comment of Rashi. Ubatsi mehachi lo chashiv geiz. Shizu pechusa shebegizos. Now Rashi offers the following in terms of a svara to understand the Mishnah. If I shear anything less than that off any one of the sheep, so Rashi says it's not considered geiz. In other words, Rashi over here is being, he's being a lamdan. Rashi over here is giving a definition in terms of what is the shear represent. What the shear represents, says Rashi, is that this is now a giza. This is now a shearing. If I shear anything less than that, shezup chusa shebegizos. This is the minimum amount that people shear. And if I cut off less than that, so it doesn't have a shame giza. The Rashbam and Baba Basra seems to go along the same lines of this Rashi in our Gemara. The Rashbam Basra Amar Rav Manu Pras. Now, admittedly, the Rashbam, by the way, is not commenting on Rav Dosim and Horkanus. The Rashbam is commenting on the Shita of Rav. We haven't seen together the Shita of Rav, right? I know you already saw it with your Chavrusa. But in the meantime, the Rashbam writes in Baba Basra, Bein Chameshtam of Avashihu Mechumashos. They have to be equal amounts from every one of the sheep. I'll get back to that point a little bit later on. Ko Achas Yesh Batstemer Chomesh Al Manu Upras. Aval Batr Mehachi Kemanda Leisa Dami. If I shear any less than that, so it's as if I don't have any wool. Again, the Rashbam over there, following along the same lines of Rashi, speaks to this idea that if it's less than a given amount, it's simply not giza. It doesn't qualify as a shearing. You can call it whatever you want, but it's not giza. This idea behind that Rashi and the Rashbam are articulating can be related to a Gemara, that hopefully you saw already, the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph has the following discussion. Tanicha, the Gozif says, Yizim v'shotif as a rechelim pater, v'tanyidach gozif says, Yizim pater v'shotif as a rechelim chayiv. So the Gemara has the following discussion. Let's say, I get the wool off of the animals, but it's not done via shearing. It's not giza. What happens? You put the animal under a river. The river has a very strong current. And the current now is ripping the wool off of the sheep. So under those circumstances, is that going to be chayv and reishis against, yes or no? And the Gemara brings down a machlokas. And the Gemara says, lo kasha, hav rabban, hav rab yosi. And the Gemara brings down a machlokas between the chacham and rab yosi. D'tanya leket ketzircha. Now, the Torah says that when it comes to the mitzvah of leket, leaving over some grains for the aniyim. So the Torah talks about ketzircha, which means harvesting. Which means to say that you are only chayv in leket when it's done via harvesting. Velo like a kituf, and it's not like a kituf. Meaning, let's say instead of harvesting with a sickle, what I do is I pull it out of the ground with my hands, so that doesn't work. And Rav Yossi Omer ain't like it ela haba machmas katsir. And then Rav Yossi follows up by saying, you know, like it is only when I do it with a katsir, with a sickle. And I'm harvesting in the normal fashion. And then the Gemara points out, Rav Yossi, I'm a Tanakama, wait one second, I don't understand. Isn't Rav Yossi saying the exact same thing as the Tanakama? The Gemara clarifies, yeah. Kula Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, it's all Rabbi Yossi. V'hachi ketani she Rabbi Yossi omer ein leket ela haba machmas ketzir. Good. So the Bryce is telling us that, according to Rabbi Yossi, when the Torah gives us a way in which it is going to be done, it has to be done in that manner. So that means to say that when it comes to leket, so since the Torah uses a verb of kitzir, so by definition, it has to be kitzir. If I somehow get the grains in any other process, it doesn't qualify as kitzircha because the Torah's method in doing so is also giving definition to how it's done. The Gemara says the same thing with Giza. Meaning, since the Torah talks about Reishis Hagez, so it must be done in the manner of Giza. If I get the wool in any other manner, so then it's not, by definition, according to Rav Yossi, it's not going to be Giza, it's not going to be Chayiv. Okay, that's the Shita of Rav Yossi in the Gemara Kuf Lamed Zayin. So what I'm doing now is I'm just simply suggesting that this is basically similar to the idea behind Rashi. Meaning, I know Rashi's not quoting Rav Yossi, I'm the one making the connection, you don't have to buy into it, but the basic idea is that when we're talking about Giza, we're talking about Giza as a means of definition. Meaning that there's a certain way in which Giza has to be done, i.e., it has to be shorn, and I can't just simply pluck the hairs off, or I can't have the current of the water pulling it off, and there has to be a certain amount. Anything less than that amount is not called Giza. Right? That's what Rashi says very clearly in our sugya. Anything less than that amount is just simply not a Giza. So, in terms of the actual number, I'm not here to help you with the actual number. Mano pras from each one, I don't know. But the svara behind Rashi is that anything less than that is just simply not going to be a Giza. And it could be that Rashi is looking at it definitionally as, in order for it to be Chayiv, it has to be Giza. Both in the manner in which it's done, that's clearly Shitas Rav Yossi, and then Rashi adds also in the amount that's taken off. Okay. That is, that's possibility number one in terms of what is as far as behind the shear. Okay. With that stated, so now I'm going to go a different route or a different possible route, but before doing so, let's see the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin, which I know you did, Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus Omer, so it's Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, V'kama Kol Shehin. So now in the Mishnah we have a machlokes between Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus and Chachamim. They're arguing about when does the chiyuv even get off the ground? How much wool needs to be taken off the five sheep in order for the chiyuv to begin? Now that we're there, within the sheet of the Chachamim in the Mishnah, they say Kol Shehu. What does that mean? So the Gemara brings in, now it looks like four opinions. When all is said and done, when you get through the Gemara, you will see it really results in three opinions. So Amar Rav Manu Upras Vavashiyu Mechumashos. So Rav says it's going to be a Manu Upras, and it has to be Mechumashos. Now, let's just say it like this. According to Rav, let's assume that a Manu is 25 slime, Manu Upras is 37 and a half. Let's assume, not assume, it's correct. That's from all five sheep, and so that means that it's a total of 37 and a half, and it has to be mechumashos, which means that it can't be that I take, let's say, 8 from this sheep, 7 from this sheep, 8 from this sheep, 7 from this sheep. It averages out to 7.5 per sheep, which will get me to 37 and a half. That's unacceptable, but rather mechumashos, meaning that each animal must contribute 7.5 to the 37 and a half. That's the Shita of Rav. Now, it happens to be that when you get to the end of the sugya, so you'll learn that Rav actually means 60. He didn't mean 37.5, he actually meant 60. Okay, but that's fine. Shmuel Amar Shishim. Now, Shmuel says Shishim as well. Well, again, based on the Gemara's conclusion. V'no sein stela achas a kohen. And you give one stela to the kohen. Rabba b'barchanam Rav Yochanan Sheish. So the Gemara quotes a third opinion. Again, Rav and Shmuel end up being the same opinion. But right now, Kipshuta of the Gemara. Rabba Berchana says a third opinion, which is 6 salayim. And that means to the Kohen you give 5, chamisha, ve'echadlo, and you keep one for yourself. Ulam Rav Elazar kol shein shaninu. And the final opinion of the Gemara is that when the Chachamim and the Mishnah say kol shehu, it means literally a kol shehu. Okay. What comes out now is that amongst the Amoraim, within the Shita of the Chachamim, there are now 4 recorded opinions in terms of what does a kol shehu mean. It either means, I'll say the Gemara Kipshuto, it either means 37.5, or it means 60, or it means 6, or it means actually a kol shehu. Now that is wildly different than that of Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus. Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus is holding by 187.5 salayim, and now we are at shirim at either 37.5, 60, 6, or mamish a kol shehu. Okay, Tanan. The Gemara quotes the following Mishnah. The Kamenosin Lo, the Gemara is a little bit bothered because how much do you then have to give to the Kohen? Mishko Chamish Slime B'Yehuda Shein Eser Slime B'Galom. So you're going to give 5 slime to the Kohen. To which the Gemara says, I'm so confused. You're going to give five shalim to the Kohen? According to the Chacham, which the Gemara assumes is the halacha. So how much wool did we even start with? So it ranges anywhere between 60 to mamash kol shehu. So how can you tell me then that the shear is going to be five shalim bishlam al rav rav Yochanan nicha? So for Rav and for Rav Yochanan, okay, fine, I get it. But Elo Shmuel for Rav Elazar kasha. But it's going to be difficult for Shmuel. It's going to be difficult for Rav Elazar. But the Gemara says even for Rav, I don't understand. Meanwhile, according to Rav, according to Shmuel, how much do you give to the Kohen? A 60th. So in other words, you're going to take whatever you have and take a 60th of that. Now for Shmuel, how much do you start with 60? What's the 60th of a 60? That's easy. That's one. And according to Rav, you're 37.5. Again, kipshuto, as the Gemara originally presents it. What's the 60th of that? About a half. A little bit more than a half of a sela. And I don't understand the Mishnah. So ha it marla dehi Rav Shmuel damer tavai b'yisrael sheish lo gizim har be'askinan o mevakish litnan lekoin. V'amin le kochav echa lo tibatzer le mechamish etzlaim. Okay. And then the Gemara comes up with the clarification. I know I mentioned this earlier, that what the Mishnah here is referring to is not where you have the base minimum of wool. It means you have a lot of wool. And under those circumstances, make sure to give the Kohen five shalim. But Lu Yitzu, you had less than a lot of wool. So what is our minimum shear? So according to Shmuel, you start with 60 off that you took off the five animals. You then give one to the Kohen. It's less than five. That's fine. In other words, the shear is to give five. Okay. The Gemara then has the following discussion. Really interesting dialogue back and forth in of itself. Let's see the Gemara. So Isi ben Yehuda makes the jump. I'm sorry, Isi bar Hini makes the jump to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And now Rav Yochanan finds him learning, and he's learning with his son. And he's teaching him the Mishnah, our Mishnah. And instead of saying the word Rechelos, he says the words Rechelim. Amarle, ask the Rechelos. He says, what are you doing? That's not the gears of the Mishnah. The correct gears of the Mishnah is Rechelos. So Amalei Kedichsiv Rechelim Asayim. So he says, well, what do you mean? The Pasuk in Chumash, when describing the plural, says Rechelim. So Amalei Lashon Torah Lasman, Lashon Chachamim Lasman. So Rav Yochanan says, that's fine. I'm very happy the Torah says it that way. So the Torah has its way of saying over, and the Chachamim have their way of saying over, and that's fine. But in other words, when you're learning Mishnayos, learn like the Chachamim. So Amalei Man Reish Shidra Bebava. And now the dialogue gets a little bit stranger. Who happens to be the current Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel? In other words, remember, Isi Barihini just made Aliyah. So Amarle Abba Richa. So he says Abba Richa. Abba Richa is a reference to Rav. Rashi over there seems to indicate that he's called Abba Richa because he happened to have been very tall. So Amarle Abba Richa Karisle. Whoa, that's how you refer to him? You refer to him by his name? So Dikirna Kad Hava Yasivna Acha Yudzain Shurin Achori De Rav Kami De Rebbe. And now Rav Yochanan is going to give Musar to Isi Barihini. Now, I remember, says Rav Yochanan, that I was in Shir, and I was all the way back in the 17th row. If I could just, I'm not going to pause the recording, but I remember back in my days in YU, so I was in Rav Ronshpigel Shir. I think for the guys who were by me for Shabbos, I told you. So I was in Rav Ronshpigel Shir, so at the time, the Shir was super popular. There were at least 100 guys in a Shir. So I was well beyond the 17th row in the Shir. I sat towards the back of the shir. So for those of you who went to Nativ Aryeh, so I'm telling you right now, so two of the, well, he's no longer Rebbe Nativ Aryeh, but Rev Eisenstein and Tzvi Shiloni, so they sat in the front row in Rev Ronshpigel shir. So, okay, good. So anyway. So, coming back now. So, Hacha Yud Zayin Shur Nachori Derav Kami Derebi. So Rev Yochan, huh? We're back. So I was 17 rows in the back. This is Rav Yochanan talking. And who is in the front row of Shir? Who is giving Shir Rebbe? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Who was in the front row with in the Shir? So that was Rav. V'nafki zikukin denura mipume derav lepume derebi, or mipume derebi lepume derav. Sparks were flying from the mouth of Rebbe to Rav. From the mouth of Rav to Rebbe. V'leis ani adam mahin amarin. I couldn't even understand what they were talking about. The level was well above what I understood. I know what they were talking about. And meanwhile, so I just gave you a description of Rav, and you call him Va'at Abba Richa Karisle, and you call him Abba Richa. So Amarle Iu Reishis Agez Bekama, and it's okay. So you got the Musar, and he says, now how much Reishis Agez? Amarle Rav Yochanan b'shishim. So he says the shear is going to be shishim. Okay, so that's Rav Yochanan's answer. Right? In other words, you need to take off 60 from the 5. V'anan b'chol shehu tanan. Now, Isi Barhin, he says, yeah, but the Mishnah says kol shehu. Now, at this point in time, I would have recommended to Isi Barhini, like, he already shut you up enough times where I wouldn't be espousing anymore your viewpoint. But he needed one more. So Amar le imkein ma bein livalach. So he says, look, I know I also could read the Mishnah. I can also translate the words. But I have a Mesorah. Meaning the Mesorah that I have in the Mishnah is that when the Chachamim say kol shehu, they don't mean a kol shehu, they mean shishim. They just mean kol shehu relative to the position Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus. Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus says 187.5, and I'm saying that what the Chachamim say kol shehu, they just simply mean relatively less than that, but it comes out to shishim. Okay. There's a really interesting Rashi right there on the Gemara. I tell the story because I like the story, but I tell the story here in the Shir because of the Rashi over there. If you take a look at Rashi over there, look at the underlying section of Rashi. Umiu. Now, Rashi over here, the girsa should be shishim, not shisha. Right? In the Gemara, Rabbi Saul of Ransburg makes that change. Umiu shishim salim bi'ina. You need 60. So why do you need 60? So Rashi over here writes, ki heichid limite sela lekohen. Because what we need is a sela to go to the kohen. Tabasim me'acha leka laman damar d'tav nesina. Because anything less than that is simply not going to be a nesina. Meaning, what Rashi is introducing us over here is really a second svara. Meaning, the Rashi back in the Mishnah said that with the svara in terms of guiding, what's going to be the determinant of the shear? It's going to be, what is a giza, what is not a giza? Above a certain amount, that is a giza. Less than a certain amount, that's not a giza. Rashi over here is giving now a different svara in terms of why it is that it has to be, you have to give a certain amount. Because what you have to do is you have to factor the following. You're going to take off a certain amount of wool. Of that, a 60th is going to go to the Kohen. Of that, we need the Kohen to get a significant amount, which is at base minimum one sela. So then we just work backwards. Once we know that the Kohen's got to get a sela, and once we know you're giving a 60th of the total, so then we just simply do the math in the reverse direction. So, but in other words, in terms of the determinant, in terms of what determines the shear, it actually is going to be, we start with how much should the Kohen be getting, and from there, and we know what the fraction that the Kohen's receiving, and so from there we're going to start with, or I should say we're going to end with, how much wool do you need to even start with in order to get the shear going. So in Rashi, and by the way it's interesting because it's both Rashi, in Rashi you really have two svaras in terms of how we arrive at the shear. One, a definition of Giza in the actual shearing. Two, it's really going to be dependent on how much to give to the Kohen, that's the determinant, and then we just simply work backwards. Okay. Now, with this in mind, I'll make one more point. I'll try to be brief in making it. When the Gemara brings down the opinion of Rav, so the Gemara says that Rav requires that it has to be mechumashos. So you saw the sheet of Rav. I quoted on the source sheet. So the sheet of Rav, which is brought on the top of Kuflam and Zayin, Alaf Amar Rav Manu Prasu Vavashihu mechumashos. It has to be mechumashos. Now I already said pshat mechumashos means that if I need a total of 60, so 60 divided by 5 is 12, I need each sheep to produce 12 slime weight worth of wool in order for the chiyuv to be generated. And if I have one sheep giving 11, the other one giving 13, that's not good. Even though it averages to 12, that's not good. Every sheep has to come up with 12. Okay. Now if I asked you, does the halacha demand mechumashos? So your simplest answer to me would be yes. The Gemara says so. However, a careful reading of the Gemara would not indicate this way because, again, look back at the Gemara now. Let's read the Gemara carefully. V'kama kol she'en amar rav manu prasu v'vashi yumuchum ha'shos. Shmuel amar shishim. V'nosin sela achas ha'kohen. Rav baruchan amar rav yochanan sheish. L'kohen chamish ve'echad lo. Ula amar rav lazer kol she'en shanino. There are four opinions given in the Gemara. Of those four opinions, how many actually require muchum ha'shos? Only one. Only Rav requires mechum ha'shos. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef, this is not my observation. This observation belongs to the Beis Yosef. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef inside, so he makes exactly this observation. He writes, Hilchasa, I'm going to skip right to the middle. V'shishin da'av alei Rabbi Yana yach le gabay v'chazin le rabbanan kamay de paska Rabbi Yana v'kasa v'rash. Okay, the Rambam passes that you need 60 in total. The cost of Oda Rosh Tzarech Shetia Gizas Kol Achas Mechamisha Sam Ein Pachus Meshneim Asar Sela. So he quotes the Rosh. The Rosh says that every sheep has to produce minimum 12, meaning the halacha of Mechumashos. The time of Mishum Derav Matzrich Shiyum Mechumashos, and it's based on Rav. Vehilchus Akavase Bisure, and the halacha falls like Rav when it comes to Yisurim. Okay, Aval HaRambam Lo Hitzrich Shiyeh Mechumashasa. But the Rambam does not require this mechumashos. V'taimo mishum de kol inach amarai, because if you look at the other amaraim of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, Rabbi Yanai, lo iskir shiyum mechumashos, mashma de pligela de Rav, baha, baha v'le yachil legabayu. So the Beis Yosef, in defense of the Rambam, who does not require mechumashos, so he says, look, the Gemara brings in three amaraim who did not have this requirement, and so therefore there's no requirement of mechumashos. Now, as a technical point, and it's kind of not even so technical, when you read the Rambam inside, where did the Beis Yosef get this from the Rambam that he doesn't require mechumashos? I quote the Rambam, I'm not reading it right now in the interest of time, but you'll see the Rambam inside. The Rambam seems to write pretty clearly that he has this requirement of mechumashos. So when the Beis Yosef says the Rambam doesn't have this requirement, it's a little bit confusing. We're not the first people confused by this. If you look at the Darchei Moshe, so he also is confused. The Rama writes, "Uvisifrei haRambam shibiyadi beinam mechumashos." Look, in my version of the Rambam that I'm holding in my hands, that I'm currently reading right now, in the 10th parak of Bikurim, sounds like the Rambam requires mechumashos. Fine. So in the Beis Yosef's version of the Rambam, he did not require it, and he gave a good svara. Three out of four amaraim, right? I sound like a commercial. Three out of four amaraim do not require mechumashos. And so, therefore, there's no requirement of mechumashos. Good. And now, in terms of our svaras that we have in front of us, we have two svaras in front of us in terms of what's determining the shear. Either the definition of giza, or the amount that you need to give to the kohen. So now, assuming there's a machlokas, Beis Yosef assumes there's a machlokas, so now we could say really simple and hopefully good pshat in the Gemara. Meaning, in this machlokas, if the issue is that the shear is based on what is the definition of giza, and I need to shear a certain amount from the sheep in order for it to be defined as giza, anything less than that is not giza, so then you totally understand the halacha mechumashos. Meaning that not only do I need a certain amount, but I need a certain amount from each one of the sheep. If I'm going to be shearing anything less than that certain amount from each one of the sheep, so then it's simply not a function of giza. And so therefore you understand the halacha mechumashos. Masha enkein. If the halacha of the shear is really being determined by how much to give to the kohen, so then you don't need mechumashos. Meaning, I need a certain total so that eventually when I take off a 60th, I'm going to give to the kohen. Doesn't matter where 13 came off of this sheep, 11 came off of that sheep. If the total, the grand total is 60 that I need, so good, so I get to the grand total of 60. Because the determinant is going to be how much to give to the kohen. So this machlokas, in terms of whether or not there's a requirement of mechumashos or there is not, lechora is going to be depending on our two svaras of what is driving, what's determining the halacha. Okay, I did have one more point to make, but time ran out on me, and we'll stop over here. And so again, two basic svaras in the Rishonim in terms of what is determining the shear in terms of reishis hageis. So Rashi back in the Mishnah. The Rashbam and Baba Basra seem to be giving a more lumdish definition of what is defined as Giza, what is not defined as Giza, similar to the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Shita of Rav Yossi, in terms of the process. It has to be done via Giza. Similar, not the same, understood. The Rashi in the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, in the story of Rav Yochanan and Isi ben Barhini, Rashi over there says, Beferish, that the reason why we need a shear is because we know how much is going to be given to the kohen, and then we just simply work backwards. So there are really two competing svaras in the Gemara, really in Rashi, in terms of what is determining the shear, either the definition of giza or the amount given to the kohen. And lechora, the question of mechumashos is going to be contingent much on this machlokas. So if it's a question of definition of giza, then there is a requirement of mechumashos. If it's just how much to give to the kohen, then of course there would be no requirement to